And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today's program may be the most important message you have ever heard in your life. I beg you to listen to me very closely today. What I am going to tell you is much more valuable than gold, much more valuable than anything that you can attain in this world. I'm going to talk to you today about the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God. Now, I am convinced that the Bible contains both the most chilling, frightening words that are found in the human language, and at the same time, we can also find the most edifying, the most thrilling, the most satisfying words and expression that are found in any language on this planet or in any planet anywhere in any galaxy, for that matter, if there be alien beings somewhere out in the universe. In Matthew 26, Jesus said something so wonderful, it brings tears to my eyes. He said, "Come ye blessed, enter the kingdom which has been prepared for you from the foundation of the world." Did you know that God has prepared a kingdom for you? And this kingdom he prepared before this world was even framed. God had his kingdom prepared for you. If you are of him, if you are his child, if he is your king, then he has a kingdom prepared for you. And he says in the Gospel of Matthew, "Come ye blessed, enter the kingdom." No words could be more thrilling. Can you imagine Jesus holding out his outstretched hand and arm to you and saying, "Come, you who are blessed"? At the same time, we will see a little later on in today's message that regrettably, unfortunately, the chilling words are told to some by Jesus, and I quote Jesus, "The kingdom of God is taken from you." The kingdom of God is taken from you and given to another nation which has the fruits thereof. So God has prepared a kingdom for his people, but there are those who will be denied that kingdom. It could have been their birthright. They seem to be destined for glory, but because of something that occurred, something that happened, and their rebelliousness, that it caused them to be denied this kingdom, and they will be thrown into utter darkness forever and ever. Now, these are momentous things that I want to talk to you today. They're much more important than who is going to be president of the United States, or whether another war will erupt in the Middle East, or the price of oil or of food. These things have great meaning way beyond any measure that we can imagine. Today I want to talk to you about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. And I have some startling facts and news for you. That's why you've got to stay tuned today. And I pray that you will also order the tape of this program or the CD of this program and make copies. Of course, for all our tapes, we allow you to make as many copies as you want and distribute them. We're not concerned about the copyright and all that. We want the message of truth to go forth. Now, everybody, it seems, is worried about a kingdom of some kind. And people talk about kingdoms and powers, and people have said that the United States is the only remaining superpower. But we're worried that China, by the year 2016 or 2030 or whatever, could become greater than America as a superpower, could become, in a way, the kingdom on earth. The Jews desire their kingdom. And the Christian evangelicals, so-called, believe it is their mission and their purpose in life to help the Jews achieve the kingdom of the Jews on earth. I was watching a movie just a couple years ago, I believe it was. I believe the title of the movie was The Kingdom of Heaven. Well, I wanted to know what was the kingdom of heaven. And the movie was a very interesting movie, let's just say, but it was about the Great Crusades. And the Christian Crusaders occupied Jerusalem at the time. And they believed that that was the capital of the kingdom of heaven, was earthly Jerusalem. But Saladin and the Muslims desired to have Jerusalem, and they believed that they would have the kingdom of heaven. And so a great war ensued, in which many thousands were killed, until finally the Christians were expelled from the kingdom of heaven, which was the city, the earthly city of Jerusalem. And as I watched this movie unfold, and it was very historical, quite dramatic, I realized that throughout history, men have killed each other to establish a kingdom. Kingdom builders generally are very bloody, violent men. Now, some have sought to build the kingdom by peace, but even Jesus said during his day, he said that men have sought to build the kingdom or to achieve the kingdom of God by violence. Now, this is an astonishing thing, because I want to tell you something today that will change your life. It will change your life. You see, there is no physical kingdom that you should aspire to. There is none. You can die for vain causes if you wish. You can die for Jerusalem, or for that matters, I suppose, Tokyo or Buenos Aires or Washington, D.C. or San Francisco. But whatever kingdom you achieve here on earth, believe me, dear friends, the day that you die, that kingdom will be of no consequence to you. For you will be judged by a totally different standard. And I don't know whether that kingdom that you are looking for will be the Israeli Knesset, their parliament, or in London, the parliament of the British people, or the Bundestag of the Germans, or the Senate in the House of Representatives of the United States, but by whatever measure of government or leadership, president, prime minister, chancellor, king, they will not exist any longer the minute that you die. For it is appointed for every man once to die. Afterward, the judgment. That's Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10. Jesus was often asked. In fact, throughout the Gospels, you hear conversation and explanations of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And no matter how much Jesus told people about it, they could not understand it. And finally, Jesus said, the reason you cannot understand my words is because you don't belong to the Father. If you belong to the Father in heaven, you'd understand my words. He spoke to him of the kingdom. He said, it's not a matter of what you drink, the material things you have. The kingdom does not come by observation. You can't even see it. Think about that. Pilate said, are you king? He demanded of Jesus. Are you going around telling people? Are you claiming that you're the king? You see, that's why Herod wanted to kill Jesus. Herod was the king. Who is this imposter? Who is this man that claims to be king? Herod was infuriated, obviously, by that. And he was hoping that Pilate would put Jesus away. But Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. He told the governor from Rome, Pilate, Pontius Pilate, my kingdom is not of this world. Now, Satan confronted Jesus in the wilderness and put Jesus through many tests. One of which he took him to a very high pinnacle and he displayed to Jesus all the kingdoms of this world. And he said, bow and worship me and all these kingdoms will be yours. But Jesus answered and said, tempt not the Lord thy God. Jesus turned him down. Do not for a moment think that the kingdoms of this world do not belong to Satan. They are his. You would like to see Israel have its kingdom, then you want to see Satan have a kingdom. You want to see the United States be the kingdom of this earth, the only remaining superpower, then you will have Satan as the king of this superpower, which is the United States. Do you not understand Satan already has this world and every material thing within it? The Apostle Paul said that Satan is indeed God of this world. Small g, God of this world. But that doesn't defile Jesus. There's none of Satan in Jesus, for Jesus says, my kingdom is not of this world. And he told Satan, you can't tempt me with the kingdoms of this world. But Jesus never denied that they belonged to Satan. Why do you think Jesus was tempted by Satan, or at least Satan tried to tempt him? Because they did belong to Satan. They were his. And he will give them to whoever he wants. He will make people presidents, prime ministers. Now overall, God is watching. No man can rise or fall lest God agree. But I want you to understand something, dear friends. Satan temporarily has been given authority over this planet. Now, Jesus, of course, is a whole different matter. Jesus has a special dominion, a spiritual dominion. And this is where almost every human being misses. They miss things. Now, the kingdom of heaven belongs to God, and Jesus sits on the throne of this kingdom. And who are his citizens but the seed who belong to Jesus? How do you become the seed? The seed is Jesus. The seed is the word of God, and the seed, Jesus said, is planted in the heart of a man. Everyone who is of the kingdom has the seed planted in him. You've heard, no doubt, of the parable of the mustard seed that grows and grows and grows if it's watered properly, if it's fed and nurtured properly. And it become huge. People talk to me all the time about the seed of Abraham. They don't know what they're talking about. They've never read Galatians 3, and if they have, they don't understand it. The seed, Galatians 3:16 says, is Jesus Christ. The seed is whoever belongs to him. The seed is not as of many Jews. Everyone thinks, well, the seed of Abraham are those people who say they're Jews living over in the Middle East. You know nothing of what you speak. Jesus is the seed of Abraham, and everyone who has been quickened, that has been made alive by him, is also the seed of Abraham, for we are one with him as he is one with God, the Father in heaven. And Galatians 3, verses 26 through 29 says, it doesn't matter at that point if you're a Jew or a Gentile. Because it's not the flesh, it's not your race, it's not your DNA. Forget your DNA, it's going to stay right here, dust to dust. You cannot take your dust remains to heaven. You're not going to live in heaven with a Jew next door, a Gentile, or a German, or a Japanese, or a mixture. There is no flesh that is worthy of entering the kingdom of heaven. Do you think the Jews will get to heaven, Tex? No, and neither will the Gentiles. It is the spirit that quickeneth, that means makes alive. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Jesus said that, John 6. Think about it again. It's the spirit that makes you alive, that quickeneth you. The flesh profiteth, get this, nothing. People all the time are concerned. I wonder what happened to the Jews. Did they go across here and back in history? Did they belong to Ham or Japheth? And what about the Anglo-American or Anglo, you know, people? Are they the ones that, oh, shut up. You worry about things that are temporal that mean nothing. The flesh profiteth nothing. Well, don't you think that the white races are better because they are don't? Oh, shut up. And Jesus' very words, he is the word of God. The words that I speak, said Jesus, they are spirit and they are life. Do you want to live or die? That's the question. Do you want to live or die? There's only one person who is God Almighty, whose name is Jesus, that can give you life. And abundantly, I might add. Everlasting, I would like to add more. And here's why Jesus said it. He said, all power is given, this is Mark 28. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. All power is given to Jesus in heaven and in earth. How much power? All power. That is the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to give you a little secret here, friends. You'll be surprised at what I say. But wherever Jesus is, there is the kingdom of God. For he who has the power is everything. Think about that. I've seen some of these science fiction movies, and they're always interesting. There seems to be some power source in the universe or world. And eventually toward the end of the movie, they find it. And it looks like it's usually some gigantic diamond chamber. And inside there's either a machine or a great computer or some kind of a force. And it doesn't really take human form, but it's just some strange force. And of course, the Star Wars even talked about, may the force be with you and all those things. But the power, all power, is given unto Jesus Christ in heaven and in earth. Now Jesus went to his disciples and he said, who do you say that I am? Well, Peter answered to him and said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you know what Jesus said back to him? He said, that didn't, and I'm paraphrasing it, he said, that didn't come from your own mind. That came to you from my Father, which is in heaven. He gave that to you, that knowledge, that understanding. Now, then Jesus revealed to Peter how powerful that understanding is. Folks, there's some things that when you understand them, it's like a dynamo. It's greater than any generator, any alternator on any automobile. It's greater than any battery. It's greater than the force of a trillion suns. And this was the center of power. Did you know that words have power? Oh, yes, they do. Jesus said, the words that I speak to you, they are life. And I asked you before, do you want to die or do you want to live? If you want to live, you better listen to the words of Jesus. And Jesus asked his disciples this question, who do you say that I am? And I want to repeat again, because Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, these words didn't come from yourself. They came from the Father, which is in heaven. And then Jesus went on to tell him, because he had that understanding, that seed, the words that had come from God, that he would henceforth have the keys to heaven. How would you like to have the keys to heaven? All power. The key is in your hand and in your heart. And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, he told Peter. Think about that. Whatever Peter prayed for, whatever he bound on earth, or for that matter, freed up, the same will happen in heaven. Now, let me explain to you what this means. You see, a lot of people mouth the Lord's Prayer. And I've gone to AA meetings. I'm not a member of AA or anything else, but I wanted to see what was going on there. I only had to go to a couple of their meetings. Then I reported it was all of the devil. That was, you know, the end of that, as far as I was concerned. But it's interesting that at many AA meetings, they would say the Lord's Prayer. Some people think there's like some magic in it. Well, there is magic in it, in a sense, greater than magic. There is a supernatural power, but very few men can understand it. Think of the words, because Jesus is teaching you and me, men and women, how to pray. And you start off your prayer by addressing our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now right there is again that same principle. The keys of heaven are in the hands of the man who is the seed of Jesus Christ. And whatever he binds or looses on earth will be bound or loosed in heaven. You have the keys. This is the same thing he told Peter. Now he's saying, pray for that. Pray for that power. The power of the kingdom. Because to Jesus, all power is given in heaven and in earth. Now we go to another amazing understanding. Jesus is the source of all this power. He is the dynamo. For he is the kingdom. He is the kingdom. Now, I want to go through this a little bit here because you see, so many people are confused about this. They don't know why I preach so much about the false teachings of Israel and the Jews. They don't understand the meaning of Revelation 2 and 3 where it tells us that there is an evil system called the synagogue of Satan. And they don't know why I'm so concerned about this. I'm concerned about it because it's a counterfeit kingdom. The synagogue of Satan exists as a counterfeit kingdom. And there can only be one kingdom and one king, and his name is Jesus. But this counterfeit kingdom, the synagogue of Satan, has rejected the true king, has no access to the true power of God, but instead has tapped into the unnatural physical power of Satan. For Satan does indeed have certain physical powers, certain spiritual powers of the maladjusted, sick, and perverted kind. If you tap into those powers, my friends, woe to you. Woe to you. Because you have left the only source that can give you life. And Satan will bring you in completion unto death. And this is why this is so very important. Now, let me explain something to you. When a person says to me, well, Tex, God says that the Jews are going to have the kingdom. And they're going to reign for 1,000 years here on earth. And even Jesus is going to come and live with them. And, you know, they're going to have their temple rebuilt and all these other things. Oh, I feel so sorry for people that believe that. They're looking toward a human kingdom. They want Jesus to come back as a human king and serve. Somehow they want to exalt an earthly Jerusalem, an earthly kingdom. And they cannot understand the words of Jesus, which clearly are of a spiritual nature. It all comes down to the spirit versus the carnal. The spiritual versus the carnal. And they are living in the flesh and blood. But, you know, Jesus told Peter, he says, flesh and blood hath not revealed this great, you might say, secret to you, that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God. Flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, he said, but my Father, which is in heaven. Now, there is a principle that Jesus Christ stated in Matthew 12, verses 25. He said a kingdom has to be unified. A kingdom cannot have division. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Let me read that again. Matthew 12, 25. Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Jesus has a kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. It is built on the words of Jesus himself. And those words are seeds. And they are power that are put into, deposited in a man's heart. And this then is the kingdom, for we are one with Jesus and one with the kingdom, and we are all, through Jesus, united in this kingdom. But if this kingdom is divided, if you attempt to bring flesh and blood, carnal things, the things of this earth, and you mix them, you pollute the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God will not allow this. It will not allow itself to be polluted. It will cast you off into Satan's kingdom. Do you understand that? If you attempt to bring the things of this world, the things that are of flesh and blood, the things that are material and carnal, if you attempt to bring them into the kingdom of God, they will not adhere. Oil and water will not mix. They will not mix. If they could, the kingdom would be divided against itself. He that is not with me is against me, said Jesus. And he that gathereth with me scattereth abroad. My friends, if you're, everything that you do must be for the kingdom of God, or you're scattering. Did you know you cannot cast out devils by the powers of the devil? I've met a lot of occultists that don't know that. We're going to talk about that when we come back. Can you cast out a devil by use of the devil's knowledge? And what has that got to do with the kingdom of God? I'll talk about that when I return in just a minute. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. I'm Tex Mars. Stay with us. We've got more when we return. Hello, good friends. Tex Mars here again. You know, we have the most wonderful staff, I think, of any ministry on earth. I'm sure there are a lot of them in heaven that might be better. Of course, there are a lot of ministers up in heaven that are way superior to Tex Mars, too. But down here on earth, We have a pretty good staff. And let me tell you why. They care for you. They love you. They want to be of service to you. And every year, not every month, but 1 month of every year, we have what we call an offering month for the employees. We give you the opportunity to give to our staff. Now, some of our staff have been here a long time. They may not make as much money as they would in other places. And that's why we need your help. This is really staff or employee appreciation month. Employee appreciation month. Sometime this month, if you're able. Now, I'm not asking somebody who's on Social Security and can't afford it, who's barely just getting by and taking care of basic shelter. I'm not asking you to give, but if you are able to give, would you please help us to reward our employees? Now, I say reward. These aren't like big gifts or anything. We're talking about just basic help to our employees. Yes, they get a salary, but, you know, they don't have retirement or pension pay. We don't have any employees entertainment expenses, certainly. None of them have car allowances. We don't pay for their phone bills at home. All those kinds of perks and, you know, goodies that you may get at other places, well, you don't get here. Only the basics. That's all our employees get, and that's all that we can really afford to give them. Now, I know there are blessings here of working here, and there are also blessings of giving to ministries. And the old saying is true, friends, you cannot outgive God. So would you please help our employees? Again, we do pay them a salary, but they deserve so much more. So out of the abundance that God has given you, we ask that you please give during this month, Employee Appreciation Month. That's the month of September each year. Now, what we do is, if you will tell us what you want to give, we will designate that. Now, some of you are very already good and generous, and maybe you give $20 a month or $50 or $100 a month to the ministry. Well, in this case, whatever amount you wish to designate specifically for the employees, let us know. So if you send a love gift to the ministry of, let's say, $50, but you'd like $20 of that to go to the employees, just write a little note, say, text, of this $50, $20, I'd like to go to the employees. So let us know, would you, in your own words, you might want it all. You might give $100 and say, I'd like this to go to the employees. That's fine. Some people I know send two checks in the month of September. They send one check made out to the ministry, and, you know, it just says offering. And then they send a second check in the same envelope, and they put a little note on it, or in the little F-O-R, the four little line down bottom left of the check, they'll write down employees. Okay? Whichever is the case, we'll look for that, and we'll make sure it goes direct to the employees. Now, I want to let you know that if you designate money to go to the employees, what we do at the end of September, we take it and see what we've got in, what all the offerings and donations were specifically for the employees. And then we divide it up equally among all the employees. So a person in shipping will get as much as the person who, well, does our newsletter or helps me to broadcast this radio program or works on our webpage. So, you know, we have people who open the mail each day. And others, you know, who are computer folks, order takers, everyone will get the same amount. Okay, now this will be in addition to their salary, but believe me, they deserve it. And they do need it. And, you know, the cost of everything seem to keep going up, up, up. And, you know, we don't have the money to give them bonuses. We don't have the money to improve their pay. In fact, you know, I've had meetings with our employees and I've sort of warned them that we might have to actually start cutting pay. And on another note, you know, Tex Morris doesn't get here every radio program and beg you for money. You may say, well, that's what you're doing now, Tex. Well, that's true. But you know, and I know it's very rare when I do. We offer books and videos that I believe will be helpful to you in understanding the world and the future of this world. So we provide books and videos as a service, but we don't really make money from the sales of our products. We offer them at a price, and we really don't even break, we don't break even. So really, whether or not Power of Prophecy and Textmars are going to be here week in and week out, well, that's up to you. It really is. I pray someday we don't look at our budget and say, well, we're going to have to close it all down. I have never, ever said that before, that if you don't give, we're going to have to close the ministry down. I used to hear that all the time. You know, radio preachers and such. If you don't give, we're going to have to close it down. Well, no, I'm not going to close it down until Jesus Christ said so. But you know what? He might say so if enough of you don't give. It's, I'll tell you the truth. Without going any further, believe me, we need your help. So, yes, the employees, you know, a workman is worthy of his hire, the Bible says. And people who serve God in a ministry are worthy of what they make. And I believe you will be rewarded. I don't know how, but it will be beyond your beliefs. I'm convinced of that. There are many ways God can reward people. I'll tell you, in the last couple of years, I've been very, very ill. When God heals your body, that is a great reward, is it not? I've had loved ones who I've prayed for, and they've come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Wow, what a reward that is. Friends, there's all kinds of things. There's happiness. There's just good marital relations. Maybe you're having arguments with your loved one, misunderstandings, miscommunication. You'd love to have a more happy, harmonious life. That might be what God does. So, in any case, we ask you to help our employees designate an offering this month, or part of an offering, and for employees' appreciation. And then also, separately from that, help us here in the ministry. I don't think we've ever had as much of a need as we do now. Okay, have I ever told you that, folks? Now, I've been here for about 26, 27 years, and I've had this microphone for about that long, too. Have I ever told you that never before have we needed help as much as we do now? Well, I'm telling you, it is not at the point where we're going to close down the ministry, but it could get there, okay? We just need your help. Please pray for us, too, that others will give, that we'll be able to keep doing what we're doing. You know, I don't know of any other ministry that does what we do, that tells the truth, even if it hurts, that really has the bravery, the courage to do so. If you want to see us continue that, please help us now more than ever. Now, our address is Power of Prophecy. We're at 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Again, that's Power of Prophecy, or just write to Texmars, TexMarrs. I know both words are misspelled. Tex should just be TEX, but I added an E. And Mars should just be MARS, but I added another R. I hope you'll forgive me. Actually, it's not my fault. We'll blame the midwife that delivered me all those years ago. Text Mars. Our address is 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. Or I should blame my mother. I don't know, the midwife or my mother. I think they consulted together and misspelled everything. Bless their heart. Okay. I've had to live with it, but I've enjoyed it. Our telephone number here, you can give a love gift with your use of your charge card. And our phone number is toll-free, 1-800-234-9673. That's 1-800-234-9673. And now we return to our regular program. We're talking about the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. Wherever Jesus is, there is the kingdom. Isn't that astonishing? wherever Jesus is. You know, Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst thereof. Did you know that also is the kingdom of God? Wherever Jesus is? You see, the problem is that so many people are looking for a physical kingdom. But even the book of Revelation talks about the heavenly Jerusalem. But somehow or other, all the Southern Baptists and Pentecostals and many fine-sounding pastors have never been told that there is a spiritual reality. There is a spiritual kingdom. And you are pressed into it the moment you accept Jesus as Lord. The Apostle Paul explained it this way. He said, here we have, that's here on earth, we have no continuing city. Think of those words by Paul. Here we have no continuing city, but we look to a heavenly city, which is heavenly Jerusalem. And Paul said, once you have Jesus in your heart, once you know him, the word of God enters you, and you have that light, the light of the world. Then, dear friends, something amazing happens. You literally become part of the kingdom of God, and we're all framed together perfectly. And Jesus is that cornerstone. He's the headstone. Without a headstone, the whole foundation crumbles. Everything falls apart. And the Bible has much to say about the foundation and about that chief stone. Jesus said in Matthew 21, he said to the Jews, did ye never read in the scriptures the stone which the builders rejected? See, the Jews believed they were building the kingdom of God on earth. But they rejected the stone which is Jesus Christ, the rock of their salvation. The stone which the builders rejected, said Jesus, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. That's Matthew 21, verse 42. And Jesus continued in verse 43. He said, therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Let's stop there just a minute, dear friends. Because every Southern Baptist pastor I have ever met, every independent Baptist pastor, every Pentecostal pastor I have ever met has never been able to understand this verse. You have the opportunity. If you have ears, then hear what I'm telling you. If you don't, well, I'm sorry for you. Almost every man and woman on this earth will not be able to understand these few verses. And they make all the difference in the world. Did I not tell you that the words I'm going to tell you about today are of gold, of pure gold? Not because I say them. Oh, pity me. No, no. It's because they have power, because in Jesus, who is that cornerstone, is given all the power in heaven and on earth. There's no other power that's greater than this. And if you reject that stone, then you have separated yourself from the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is taken from you. Now the Jews separated themselves from Jesus. They even call him Beelzebub, a prince of the devils. Think about that. Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Christ. And the Jews said, you are Beelzebub, prince of the devils. Can you imagine? But Jesus, unfortunately, was forced by their own acts, their own rebelliousness, their own rejection, their own hatred of the truth, their own embracing of the darkness. He said, I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. He took the kingdom from the Jews, from those of the physical nation of Israel. They believed they had a corner on it. No. They were wrong. He's the cornerstone. They believed because they were of the blood or whatever, of the flesh and blood, they thought, they could trace their ancestry and their heritage all the way back to Abraham. That meant nothing, because flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And you, listen to me, friends, you will receive no profit from your flesh and blood. You say, well, look how beautiful I am. I'm slender. I'm gorgeous. I've had my face lifted. I've had beauticians do my hair. Look how gorgeous I am. Oh, wait around. How old are you? 20, 30, 40, 60, 80, 90? Believe me, and I'm not cursing to say this, eventually, dear woman, dear man, no matter how many facelifts you get, no matter how much Botox you get, you're going to look like hell. In fact, your body's going to decay, crumple, and turn to dust. Only those things which are alive will go on and prosper. With Jesus Christ, you become more beautiful each year, because it's a spiritual beauty that's everlasting and need not be augmented, my dear friends, in any way, shape, or form with the material substances of this earth. They rejected Jesus. They rejected the head of the corner. They rejected the one who could have brought them their salvation. So Jesus told the Jews, therefore say I unto you, chapter 21, verse 43 of the Gospel of Matthew, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And then he added this, he said, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken, but on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parables, they perceived that he spake of them. He did speak of them. They perceived it. They knew it. And they were angry. And they sought to lay hands on him. They wanted to kill him. Now, this is so important for you to understand, because many evangelical Christians believe they're helping the Jews build a kingdom in the Middle East. And the United States is now fighting six wars in the Middle East to build a greater Israel. And many of the evangelicals, the John Hagee types, say we should go in and use nuclear bombs and explode them and blow up all of Israel's enemies. And whoever is Israel's enemy is our enemy. I've heard presidential candidates say that. Whoever is the enemy of Israel is our enemy. They're all thinking of this physical relationship, the physical kingdom. And this means nothing to Jesus Christ. They're thinking of rebuilding the temple. God will never, ever, ever live in a temple built with human hands. The Bible says so. He's greater than that. There is no temple you can build that is majestic enough for God. And Paul, again, he said, here we have no continuing city. And in any event, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It profiteth nothing. Nothing. Now, in Matthew 21 is a parable of Jesus. Parable of the householder. Here's what it says, beginning with verse 33 of chapter 21 of Matthew. Jesus speaking. He said, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a winepress in it and built a tower and let it out, that means rent it or lease it out, to husbandmen, and went into a far country. A certain householder, it was his, this house, this estate. And in it he planted this vineyard. No doubt it had very tasty, great fruit. Very much a producing property. He hedged it around. He protected it and so forth, tended it. He dug a wine press in it. He built a tower to protect it all. And he gave it then to husbandmen. That means agricultural workers, to people that would take care of it, tenants. And he himself went into a far country, it says. And when the time of the fruit drew near, in other words, the harvest, the fruit, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, to the workers, the tenant farmers, you might say, that they might receive, that is, the servants of the nobleman, the householder, sent his servants that they might receive the fruits of it. They were going to allow the tenant farmers to continue to live there, but they wanted a certain amount of it for themselves. After all, they owned it. It was theirs. They just allowed the agricultural workers, the tenant farmers, the husbandmen, to work it. You know, they would get rewarded too for their work, but it belonged to the nobleman who had gone off into a far country. He was the holder of it. He was the owner of the winery and the estate. But it says here, verse 35, and the husbandmen, that means the tenant farmers and workers, took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. What arrogance, what gall, what murderous behavior. Imagine if you owned that estate and you were a nobleman, you'd gone off to a far country and you left it to these people who were the tenants. And you said, just take care of it, you know. And at harvest time, you know, you harvest the grapes and everything. And I'll send my servants to get just some of them for me and the rest I'll let you have. Very generous proposition, is it not? But when you sent your servants to get the share for you, the owner, the householder, the landowner, the estate holder, they didn't want to give them the share that belonged properly to you. Instead, they killed one of your servants, beat another, stoned another. Well, evidently, this householder, this estate owner, was much more patient than Tex Mars would have been, certainly. Probably much more patient than you would have been. The next verse says, again, that householder, the estate owner, sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. Beat them, stoned them. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. Think of it. They kept beating the servants and not giving them what was their just due. What was the just due of the estate owner, the man who owned it all, who had given it to them in the first place just to live and to keep up. He was generous to them, but they were too greedy to even give him his due, a share of what they owed him. And then finally, in his great patience, he sent them his own son, thinking or saying, surely they'll give reverence to him. Surely they'll respect him. Isn't that what God did when he sent his son, Jesus Christ? And he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to the house of Israel. And after favoring Israel all those many decades and centuries, bringing them out of captivity in Egypt and so forth, into their own land, he sends his own son. But what do they do to the son? The same thing they had done to all the servants. In fact, it says right here, but when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. Ah, yes. You see, this winery, this estate, must have been a lovely territory. At least they thought it was. There was a vineyard planted there. It was hedged all about. Had a nice wine press. There was a tower there for protection. What a lovely country. What a lovely estate. What a lovely house that the householder had built and let them keep up for him and share in its rewards. And yet, they, knowing it was a nice place to have, decided to kill the householder's own son because they said he's the heir. So if we kill him, we can have it for ourselves. In other words, they said we can have the kingdom for ourselves. The original owner went off into a far country. And of course, God supposedly, and it did, go off to heaven. But here on earth, he has given the Jews the kingdom. Has he not? They have the kingdom. If they not abuse it, if they obey, if they do not rebel. But what do they do? That's exactly what they did. They rebelled. They were greedy. They were evil. They were wicked. And they killed the very son of the owner of the house. The house of Israel killed the son, who was the heir to the kingdom of heaven itself. It says here that after they said, this is the heir, come let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance. The Jews say, we'll seize on, we will not have this Jesus to rule over us. We will not do what he says. He's the son of the king, the nobleman, the householder. But we, the house of Israel, will grab it for ourselves and take it. We need not God or his son to rule over us. We will have the kingdom. And now they've recruited the nations of this earth to set up their own kingdom, have they not? Forget about God. We will be our own God. United States, you will assist us. Great Britain, you will be one of ours. Do what we say and we will reward you in due time. But we Jews will rule this world. This will be our kingdom, a material kingdom. Perhaps they do not suspect, or do they, these leaders of Israel, that in fact it is Satan's kingdom. It should be God's, but they won't allow it. They would prefer to worship Satan than God. Because, my friends, there are only two great powers. One, the greatest, is God, and the second, the inferior, is Satan. If you don't serve God, you are serving Satan automatically. Bob Dylan had an old song, said you got to serve someone. Everybody's got to serve someone. Met a man recently, he said, Tex, you've got it made. You're head of your own ministry. You don't work for anybody. Oh, I do. I work for my employees. I work for you, my good friends, out there in Radio Land. I work for you. But most of all, I work for God. I serve him. Now, here's what it says. What did they do to the heir? It says in verse 39 of Matthew chapter 21, they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Verse 40 says, when the Lord therefore of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Those who grabbed the son, who killed him, who said, we will have this for ourselves. Those who were listening to Jesus said this, the Jews, they said, they say unto him, he will miserably destroy these wicked men and will let out, that is to rent his vineyard unto other husbandmen, which shall render him the fruits in their seasons. They pronounce judgment for themselves. Sometimes that happens, my friends. Sometimes you just end up pronouncing judgment for yourself. The Jews themselves said, well, he'll miserably destroy them. They deserve to be miserably destroyed. And then somebody else is going to get the property to be the husbandman. It's exactly right. What did Jesus say to them? Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. What nation is it then that shall have the fruits of the kingdom? Those who will obey. Those who are of the king himself, who are his seed. Those who say, I am of Christ. I am a Christian. Whatever you say, Lord, please, just tell me. I'll obey. I'll serve you. I'll be your servant. I'll give you your just due. I will honor you. They have the kingdom of God. For the kingdom of God consists not in the things you have, but the one that you have in your heart. There, my friend, is the kingdom. Do you possess the kingdom, which is Jesus Christ? Is he in your heart? Then you will live forever. He and you, and you and him. This is the mystery. This is the secret of the kingdom. This is the life. This is the spirit. This is Tex Mars. You've been listening to Power of Prophecy. My prayer, dear friends, is that you'll tune in each week during the same time and discover the power of prophecy.